Amen. Some people doing high fives with sound effects. I like that. That's good. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. Say, it's all new. You know, sometimes someone asks you, you know, what's going on, what happened, and you say, oh, it's all good. Well, today we're going to say, it's all new. Say it again. Say, it's all new. Say, it's all new. It's not. It's all new. And let's change that, and let's personalize it. Let's say, I'm all new. Turn to somebody, say, I'm all new. We're all new. We are new. And Mr. Shorter read it earlier in the book of Lamentations. It is clearly stated that God's mercies are new every morning. And every morning that we wake up, it is a new opportunity for us to walk in what is the perpetual new of God. God is a God of the new. Every day, God has given you the gift of life. The thing about a gift, and we just celebrated Christmas. Many of us gave gifts. Many of us received gifts. The thing about a gift is that a gift must be received. God has given us gifts. He has given us the gift of a new day today. And in order for us to truly embrace and receive this gift that we've been given from God, we are to commit the gift to Him, back to Him. Everything that God gives us, everything that we have, every good, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So every time you get something good in your life, it's not just because you're a good person. It's not just because people like you. It's not just because you're good on the job or you're very smart or you're accomplished and you got a lot of degrees. It's not just because of your own merits. It's because God is a good God. And He gives good gifts to His children. He is a good God, and so every good and perfect gift we receive comes from Him, even the breath in our lungs, even the new day that we have today to be able to stand on our own two feet and worship Him and celebrate the fact that He has given us this day. And so with every gift that He gives us, we should commit it back to Him. Write this down. Every gift that I receive, I said write it down. I write it down. Don't say it. Write it down. You can say it and write it down. It doesn't matter to me. Write it down. Every gift that I get, I will commit to the Lord. Every gift that we receive, we commit to the Lord. I'm a parent. My wife and I, we have three children, ages 7, 6, and 4. And each one of those children are a gift from God. Sometimes God's gifts will challenge you. Sometimes God's gifts will teach you. Sometimes God's gifts will challenge your faith, your strength, but ultimately all of God's gifts are good. If you're a parent, if you have children, those children are to be looked at as a good gift from God. But every gift that God gives us, He doesn't give us just for us to take for ourselves. Every gift that God gives us, He gives us to be able to be a steward over. We are not the arbiter, we are not the creator, we are not the controller of anything on this world, in this world, including our own bodies. It all belongs to the Lord. Say this with me, say it all belongs to the Lord. This day belongs to the Lord. My body belongs to the Lord. My clothes belong to the Lord. My wife belongs to the Lord. My children belong to the Lord. Come on, somebody. My car and my house belongs to the Lord. Guess what? It all belongs to the Lord. This is good news. This is reassuring. You know why? Because when negative things happen, guess who those belong to? The Lord. He said, the battle is not yours. It is mine. So when bad things come our way, we submit those to the Lord because we are well practiced in submitting all things and all of our ways in every one of our days to the Lord. This is a discipline that us believers must master. And it is submitting every part, every component, every aspect of our life over to the Lord. So in this new season, in this new year, in this new day, we say as a church, collectively, as a church unit, we say that we are committing this year to the Lord. And as we commit this year to the Lord, the word of the Lord came through the man of God, through Pastor Shorter, and he delivered it to us tonight at the 11th hour, and he told us that this year is the year of restoration. And he told us that if we come to the Lord and lay down our burdens, he will give us rest. And as a result of that rest will come restoration. How many of you want to lay down every single one of your burdens? Guess what? Sometimes burdens can be looked at as a positive thing to the world. But even something that can be seen as positive from the outside can actually become a burden to us on the inside. And we must lay down each and every one of our burdens, even our accomplishments, even our accolades, even our degrees, even our the good things about us. We must lay them down to the Lord, committing them to him. And as we do that, he restores our strength. He restores our soul. He restores our vigor. He builds us up again. Amen. Maybe some of you were knocked down. Maybe you're watching this on live stream. Maybe you were knocked down in 2024. Maybe it wasn't the best year in your life. Maybe it wasn't your best experience on this planet. Guess what? There is a restoration that will come if you will just make your way to the Father and lay down your burdens. He cares for you, and he will carry them for you. Amen. I'm already preaching on a Sunday, and I ain't even got to the word yet. Praise God. But God is with us, and he is so good to us and through us and for us. Amen. Last week, I was my family and I, we were at the airport. We were traveling. We took the kids down to go see the mouse down there in Southern California, and the mouse took all our money, but that's all right. God will restore. And we took the kids to go see Mickey and Minnie and the rest of the gang down there at Disneyland. And as we were traveling on our way back, we were in the airport waiting for our flight, and I just started looking around, and I observed all of the individuals who had somewhere to be. And everyone was kind of scurrying around, and if you know anything about the international airports of the United States, you know, you gotta get there early because they want to, you know, check your bags, they wanna make sure that your bags are at the proper weight. Otherwise, they're going to charge you a little something extra for that bag. They want to make sure that there's nothing harmful inside of your bag. They want you to take off your shoes. They want you to take off your hat, your belt, your clothes, everything. And they want to inspect and make sure that you're safe. And so you got to get there early, go through the screening process, the TSA process. And everyone is kind of in a rush and kind of in a little bit of a frazzle getting to their destination. Well, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me and said, you know what, as believers, what if we lived like we had somewhere to be? I believe the revelation from the Lord is that us as believers, we should live our existence on this earth from the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We should live like we have somewhere important to be, like we are headed somewhere. Turn to somebody and say, I am headed somewhere better than this. Turn to the person on your other side and say, I am headed somewhere better than this, and so are you. Praise the Lord. What are you talking about, Pastor Don Jr.? Are you talking about the pie in the sky? Are you talking about the great by and by? No, I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about the mercies that are waiting for you on the other side of the clock. I'm not just talking about when we leave this earth and when we go on to the sweet by and by and we go to heaven and everything is settled and over with and we know more than we ever knew on this earth and we are with God and we are in perfect harmony and perfect peace. No, I'm talking about God wants to do that in your world right here and now. God wants to do something new in your life right now. He wants to give you better than what you've had, what you've experienced in yesterday or last year. God wants to do a new thing in your life right now. And if we live like we got somewhere important to be, like we're headed from glory to glory, then we won't get distracted by the affairs of this world that so easily distract us and ensnare us in distractions. See, when you're on your way trying to catch a flight, you don't get distracted by just anything. You won't allow a meaningless conversation to distract you, especially when it's getting down to the wire and they calling your name over that intercom and they about to leave you in that place where you don't live, you don't have a home, you don't have a car, you don't have any form of any type of transportation, you ain't got no friends there, you ain't got nothing there, and they about to leave you. Somebody tries to stop you and have a conversation about the weather, you say, God bless you, I'll talk to you next time. I got to go because I have somewhere to be. And as believers, we need to act and live as if we got something important to do and we are headed somewhere to make something happen through the Spirit of the living God. See, we allow ourselves, amen, we allow ourselves to get distracted because we don't understand our assignment on this earth. If you understood what God was trying to do in your life, you wouldn't allow yourself to spend hours at a time scrolling through social media. You wouldn't allow yourself to spend hours of your life on the phone gossiping about other people's business, trying to figure out where other people are going and what other people are doing. God has a plan and a destination for you. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm ready to start preaching to you in this house. Because in 2025, God wants us to arrive to the destination that He has on our ticket. Some people missed it in 2024. God wanted to do something great in 2024, but guess what? You got a new year. And God has given you a boarding pass, the boarding pass of heaven. And He said, I want to fly high with you this year. I want you to do great things this year. I want you to affect the people around you this year. But in order to do that, you got to act like you're doing something. You're on your way to somewhere. And you got to stop allowing yourself to be distracted by the distractions that are all around us in this day and age. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 10, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 10. It reads here in Deuteronomy 6:10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build. Underline, which you did not build. Which you did not build. There are some gifts, there are some things that God wants to do in your life that you did not work to earn. I'm going to say that again. You can't earn everything that God wants to give you. So stop depending on your own strength. This is why faith is so important. Because faith is saying, God, where I fall short, you make up the difference. God, where I can't, you always can. God, when I'm weak, you are strong. This is the crux of the faith that we hold as New Testament believers. And this is the promise that was given to the nation of Israel, to the Israelites. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now at this point of time, Moses is being instructed that there will be things that God will give them in this new promised land, in this promised land that they were promised all those years ago. There will be cities, there will be structures, there will be resources that they didn't accumulate themselves, but that God just put in their place. That God just gave them some things. Because remember, God is a giver. He's a gift giver. And there's some things that God wants to give you that you've been trying to earn that you can't earn and you need to just receive. Part of being a believer is learning how to receive from God. Learning how to accept what God is doing in your life. Why? Because to receive from God, why is this difficult though for people? It's hard for people to receive from God because in order to receive what God has for you, you have to drop what you have for yourself. And this is why people struggle with receiving the word of God, even in church on a Sunday morning, because they have all of these things in their head about what they should do for themselves and what is right and which way they want to go and how they want their life to look. And what type of foundation they want to build for themselves and their family. But in order to receive what God has for you, you have to purge and release what you had for yourself. This is the hard part. Because surrendering, truly surrendering to the will of God doesn't come naturally for us. It doesn't come naturally for us. There's a process. There's a breaking, there's a relinquishing of ourselves and our own perspectives and our own desires and our own wants in order for us to receive and embrace and ultimately see manifested what God wants to do in our lives. So here he's reiterating that it shall be in verse number 10 of chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things. Do you see this? All good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Oh, this is God's goodness for us. The Bible says that the riches of the sinners is laid up for the just. Oh, come on, somebody. He's promising them wells that they didn't dig. He's promising them vineyards and trees that they didn't plant. Oh, we about to receive as a church. If you'll just accept it, we're going to receive in 2025. God is going to put some things in our hands that we never thought that we saw coming. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I believe that God will do some things in your life. He'll take what belonged to the world and he'll give it straight to you. This is the word of God. Canaanite, the people of Canaan, they were not God-fearing people. The people who occupied this land they hated the God Yahweh. They hated the God of the Hebrews. They hated the true and living God. But guess what? God promised to the people, to his people, that even those people who hate you, their stuff belongs to you. Did not plant where you have eaten and are full. Verse 12, then, this is where we're going to focus on for the rest of this service. Verse 12, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oath in his house. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. How is that for an encouraging Sunday morning message? Let the anger of the Lord destroy you from off the face of the earth. This is how serious God is about being looked at as God in our lives, as being prioritized as the number one in our lives. He's saying, I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, a good place. But when you get there, don't forget who brought you to this land. The title of today's message is titled, if you're taking notes, write this title down. The title is When You Get There. When you get there. Because when you get there, the enemy meets you there to distract you. To tempt you. Because when you don't have it, when you're still believing for it, when you're praying for it, when you're on your way to the destination, It's easy to focus on God. But when you get there and comfort starts to set in and complacency starts to realize itself and you become comfortable in what God has already done, so oftentimes, this is human nature, oftentimes we can forget the God who did it. And we can start to put our trust in, start to put our reliance upon the things or the places or the people instead of the God who is the gift giver. Mrs. Shorter mentioned it earlier. Your job is not your source. So if your job is pulling you away from your church, then your job needs to go. Hey, for the two amens, praise God for the two amens. If your job is pulling you away from God, your job must go. Your job is not your source. Let's say it again. Your career, your business is not your source. God is your source. All of that other stuff be darned. God is your source. God knows how to place things in your hands. God knows how to place resources in your hands. God knows how to give you a vineyard that you did not plant. God knows how to give you a city that you did not build. God knows how to give you a career that you didn't earn. God knows how to give you a business that you didn't develop. Guess what? God knows how to place whatever he wants to place in your hand. And if he wants to do it, he'll do it. Those things are not your source. They're not your answer. God is your answer. This is why we see people in high places get to a level of success and destroy their lives. Because they forget who lifted them up to that level in the first place. Remember, I said every good gift comes from the Lord. And it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So there's people literally who are in the world that God has shown his grace towards, has allowed for them to be exalted in the world's eyes with the intention, with the will that one day that person will turn over all that they have and give glory to God and submit it to the Lord. But oftentimes what happens, it gets to a point where individuals start to believe and really truly believe that I'm self-made, that I did this myself. This is the Bible, that I, because of my own accomplishments and because of my hard work. I'm gonna tell you right now, everybody works hard. You ain't no different. We all working hard. But God raises some up and he lowers some down. And there's some people who have been raised up and they think it's because they hard work and their connections and their networking and all this other kind of stuff. No, it's because of God's goodness in your life. God has allowed you to have that position. God has allowed your business to flourish. And with everything that he does in our life, we are to give it all back to him. This is why giving and tithing in church is so important. This is why submitting money to the local church house is so important. Oh, it gets quiet when we start talking about the God of money. But this is why, because it's a breaking of the priority of the God, of the things that you prioritize and what matters most to you. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so it's a heart exercise when you take that money out of your pocket and you stuff it in that envelope and you say, you are not going to control me and control what I do with you and control where I spend you. And I'm going to submit you to the will of God, to the furtherance of the gospel. You are, in essence, taking control. You are becoming strong over the God of money, of mammon, of riches, which is a God that destroys so many people. I mean, haven't you seen it? Haven't you heard the stories? So many people have been destroyed because they have access to excess, because they have an abundance of riches, because they have an abundance of quote unquote good things going on in their life. And for us as believers, we do an exercise every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every time we come to church, we do an exercise of taking what matters most to some people and putting it in an envelope and throwing it away, giving it, submitting it, sowing it into the things of God. And we know that as we do that, God replenishes and restores. He gives back, not the same way that we gave, but in multiplicity. God is a God of multiplication. God is a God of more than enough. So whatever you give, it's coming back multiplied in Jesus' name. Whatever time you spend in God's house, it's coming back multiplied in Jesus' name. Whatever amount that you submit your life to the Lord, you will receive back in the multiplicity in Jesus' name, life and it more abundantly. When you sow your children, when you give and submit your children to the Lord, and when you teach them and raise them in the things of God, I'm not talking about just bringing them to church. I'm talking about taking the church home for them and teaching them to be the church, teaching them to have a relationship with God. When you sow that seed in them, it comes back with multiplicity in a way that you couldn't imagine. And we know that because we have individuals in here who were sowed into as young children and maybe went away for a time, but guess what? Because of that seed that was planted, they came back to the Lord. So when we arrive at that level that we've been praying and believing for, that we've been striving for, when we arrive there, we cannot forget. This is the word. Let's read it one more time. Verse number 12. Then beware. In other words, watch out for. Be afraid of. Fear this happening. Beware lest you forget. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of slavery. Beware lest you forget the Lord who frees you from that addiction. Beware lest you forget the God who gave you the power to overcome that pornography or that wrong way of thinking or that addiction to alcohol. Beware lest you forget. Say this with me. Say don't. Say I won't. Say I won't. Say I will never forget what my God has done. Beware that you forget. And the truth is that they got to the promised land and they did forget. They did forget. Even with the example of their parents who didn't inhabit the promised land, who forgot while they were in the wilderness and died off throughout the course of the 40 years wandering around the wilderness, the children of Israel, even having been warned, they got to the promised land. And the promised land was nice. It was good. It was fun. It was beautiful. It was everything that they had hoped for and more, and they forgot God. This is my message for you. As we go through this year of restoration, as God restores to us the things that the enemy stole from us, we cannot forget. Because as he's restoring to us, we need to learn how to properly manage and maintain the promised land. Because the promised land is not just, it's not just about getting to the promised land. It's about what you do with the promised land. Because I can give you something, but if you run it into the, I can give you a brand new car, but if you run it into the ground, I have just wasted, I've just cast my pearls to swine, I've just wasted this magnificent gift on someone who was not worthy of it. And the Bible tells us clearly, the Apostle Paul says that we should live worthy of the calling by which we've been called. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's some of us in this room in 2024, we weren't living worthy of the calling that's been placed on our lives. And I want to challenge you in this new year to live, to make a renewed, fresh commitment to the Lord, to live worthy of the calling of being called a Christian, of being called a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge the believers in this place for us to be a little bit more serious about honoring God with our heart, soul, and mind, with every part of our being. I want to talk to the church about being a little more serious as believers about honoring God with our time and with our possessions and with our resources. Because we, even though we arrived in the promised land, and for us as believers, technically we're already in the promised land because we're already in eternity. And so, but now that we're in the promised land, now that we've arrived, we have to learn how to remain and maintain in this place. And it takes intentionality. It takes effort. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. Philippians 4 and 11. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. And he is writing here in verse number 11. Let's start in verse 10. Philippians 4:10. He says to them, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. They sent monetary gifts. They sent resources to Paul. And he's writing to them, and he's praising God and rejoicing that they were able to help him as being the church and him being an apostle over the church. And he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And we heard this on Tuesday. To be content. And verse number 12 says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, oftentimes we take verse 13 and we use it out of context, although you can use it in pretty much whatever context that you want, because with the Lord, all things are possible. But in context, verse number 13, Philippians 4:13, is specifically, he's specifically referring to abounding and abasing no matter what circumstance or situation he's in. Paul is saying, no matter whether I'm up or whether I'm down, my faith and faithfulness to the Lord remains constant, steady. We have to have that kind of attitude, church. Because as much as I'd like to preach to you that every day of your life is going to be, perfect weather, so to speak, that's not the truth of this human experience. That would be a lie. As pastors, as preachers, as ministers, we would be ill-preparing you for faith and the fight that is the fight of faith. To tell you that every day was going to go the way that you want it to go. But the truth is that God works all things together for our good. So even on the days that don't go the way that we wanted them to go, God is still using it in his perfect providence. He's still using it for our good. God uses even, that's why we rejoice in all circumstances, in all situations. We rejoice. Why? Not because something bad happened, but because we serve a good God. And even though something bad may have happened, God uses the bad. He is so good. He is so good and so perfect that he will even use the enemy to bless you. And so we see here, Paul has said, I've learned. This is something I've learned, Paul said. And I don't think we pay enough attention to that word learn there. This is something I've learned. There's a process of learning that we are going through as long as we are on this earth. We should be learning, and he's saying, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. And when we're talking about entering into the promised land, when we're talking about arriving to a destination that's better than where we've been, we are talking about learning how to abound. We are talking about learning how to be successful in the things of God without forgetting the God that gave you that success. But the truth is that some people haven't even learned how to be abased. Therefore, they're not ready to abound. What do I mean by that? Some people have not gotten all the things that they want, haven't got all the riches and all the monies that they aspire to. And instead of being faithful to God and serving the Lord and giving even with what they have, they complain. They find something to complain about. Instead of being faithful to God and submitting what you do have to the Lord, because God wants us to submit even the little that we have, he wants us to submit it to him. Because if we submit, if we're faithful with the little, we can be able to handle more. And the truth is that there are different levels of believers, and some believers haven't even learned how to be abased. Therefore, they're not qualified to abound. You're only qualified to abound if you can know how to be abased and still be faithful to God. Oh, I know this is not attractive. This is not what you want to hear. But some of you in this place, you haven't arrived there yet. But you need to commit yourself. Say today, I'm going to commit myself, my ways to the Lord, because I know that I'm headed somewhere. And if I become faithful now with what God has placed in my hands, then God will see my heart and he will realize that I can be faithful with more. Some of you don't have the marriage that you want yet. You don't have the family that you aspire to have. But if you'll just be faithful with your singleness, if you'll just be faithful with your own body, come on, somebody. If you just submit yourself as a temple of God and really take control of yourself and submit your ways to the Lord, then guess what? God will give you the desires of your heart. He said, I've learned how to be abound. I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to suffer lack. I've learned how to have not enough, and I know how to be fully supplied. This is God's will for his church, for us to be people who are not moved by the circumstances, who are not changed based on our tax bracket, who are not changed based on our status in society. But we are just as faithful to God. Matter of fact, even more faithful. When we got millions in the bank, we still show up to church and we serve and we still show up and we clean the parking lots and we still show up and we move chairs around and we got all this going on in our world and we somebody outside of God's house, but in God's house, we all just one part of the body and we just working together. Y'all don't like this. It don't matter how many times you say amen. Y'all don't like this. But you need it. So Paul says, let's read here one more time, and then we're going to close. Verse number 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. The reason some of you are not abounding, I'm going to say this one more time as clear as I know how. The reason why some of you ain't doing what you think you should be doing is because you have not been faithful being abased. Everybody wants to say, I know how to be abased. I know how to be abased. Yeah, but you complain every chance you get. I know how to be abased. Yeah, but you don't clean up the house that you have while you're believing and praying for a mansion. You don't clean up the 3-bedroom home that you do have. I know how to be abased. I know how to be. No, you don't. And the fact that you think you do is proof that you need to grow. Said, I know how to be abound. Paul was in prison. He had nothing. But his faithfulness and his faith in God remained steadfast. That's why he's in the Bible and we're not. Because many of us, given the same trajectory, many of us would have given up, would have folded. Would have said, God, why? Why, God? I don't understand. And he's saying, I know how to do these things. And I can do all things. Say all things. Say I can do all things. Say I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. We can do all things. Maybe you're in a transitional season right now where things are not going the way that you wanted them to go. Guess what? You can do all things through Christ. You can get through that season with grace. You can get through that season faithful to the Lord. Don't pull back on God. Don't pull away from the things of God. Don't doubt God's goodness in your life. Remain faithful to him because he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. But there are seasons of times that we go through where God wants to mold us and shape us and prepare us to get to another place. Close your eyes, bow your heads. This is a cautionary tale to each and every one of us who are in the body of Christ. Because by default, being a child of God means that God intends to allow blessings and favor to flow in your life. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you enter into the family of God, by default, you're blessed. There's nothing you could do about it. The blessing of Abraham is on you. The same blessing that was given to Abraham is now placed on each and every one of us. So the cautionary tale is that we keep God first and top priority in the midst of the provision and blessings. If you're in this place today, and maybe you've never truly acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've never put him first in your life, that means that you are not a believer in Jesus. You're not a Christian.
Thank you for joining us for church. We pray that this message blessed you.
If you'd like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you as a sinner.
I come to you as a sinner.
In need of a Savior.
In need of a Savior.
I believe you sent your Son.
I believe you sent your Son.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
And today,
I confess
that I am saved.
That I am saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we believe you are saved, and we would love to hear about it. Please visit our website at packchurch.org and contact us.
Amen. And we'll see you again next time.